What's up, Thursday Warriors? It's a crazy, crazy Thursday in the beginning of April here. I am John, your normal host. Tim is actually not joining us tonight. He got a little under the weather, but we still have our special guest, Marvin Nguyen, creator of The Edge, and we're going to be hanging out with him most of the night. But first, we're going to do a little bit of housekeeping. So don't forget, guys, coming up. Well, firstly, thanks for everybody who came out to the Mills for their anniversary sale and hung out with Jim Rugg for our signing. It was awesome. We almost had 100% sell-through, which is even better because we ordered a shit ton of that book. And I really thank you all for coming out. It was great. So coming up, we got Free Comic Book Day on the 7th of May, all the stores. It's going to be awesome. Marvin and the Heroinberg crew are going to be down at the waterfront around between 11 and 12. I believe you guys said you're going to be setting up.
Yes.
I have 501st guys. I have who else? I have Pittsburgh Avengers, all kinds of guys coming to hang out. It's going to be great. So make sure you come out, get some free books, and chill out. And then, you know, a month later, we have this thing. It's possibly called Three Rivers Comic Con.
Never heard of it.
What is that? And it's gonna be awesome, guys. Like we have secured a beer label artist, which I'm not allowed to tell anybody who that really is until later. Till we get the art, but it's going to be fan fucking tastic. Oh, Tim's in the chat. All right. I hope you're feeling better, Tim. Yeah, we're gonna have the Pittsburgh Pirates are gonna be set up in the sponsor area. Possibly. We're trying to convince them to bring the parrot because we think we're just like, dude, it's cosplay. It makes sense. Right. Pittsburgh pirate ship is going to be out front. You're gonna be able to take some boat rides down the river for a little bit of cash. Tons of cool cosplayers, some amazing artists and creators, two or three publishers, and some of the best vendors in the tri-state area. It's going to be awesome. And it's cheap. Just remember to get your tickets before Free Comic Book Day, because after Free Comic Book Day, they all go up a little bit, approximately $5 per ticket tier. That's the word I want, right? Yeah. So,
but are you bringing food trucks in for the show?
So we're not allowed to bring them into the building, but if they happen to show up, sure. There is a ton of stuff right on Penn Avenue. I really recommend Emporio and August Henry's and The Standard. All of those places are freaking awesome. Unless you want to spend a ton of money and get some really awesome whiskey. What the hell's the name of the place? It's right by Emporio. Anyway, it's on Penn Avenue. Go check it out. This is going to be freaking awesome sauce. We are very excited about everything. We have, you know, Howard Chaykin's coming, Rick Leonardi's coming. I just paid for Leonardi's flight. which, by the way, you know, dude lives in Philly, and it's like $500 round trip. Crazy. So, but we're happy to pay it. We're happy to have him come out and hang out with us. He's such a great guy. That dude's super tall too. He's like 6'5", I swear.
Oh.
Yeah, man. I met him at Baltimore, and I was like shaking his hand to be like, "Hey, man, thanks for talking to me." Blah blah blah. And he stood up, and I'm just like, "Good Lord." we have he's super, super crazy. We also have some awesome guys like Maria Wolf, whose Spider-Punk cover came out this week. And Sora Sung, whose Lady Death cover came out this week. I actually stopped at her house on the way home and made her sign it. So that was kind of cool. And then we had Pizza Hut. It was great. Here's some other cool books that came out this week. And then we'll dive in and hang out with Marvin the rest of the week or night. Batman, Night of Vengeance, Flashpoint number one, Brian Azzarello doing some Thomas Wayne Batman. Do not miss that. It is awesome. She-Hulk continues to be really good. Jack of Hearts is back. Make sure you check that out. Steve Orlando's first Marvel book, The Marauders, number one. Can't go wrong with Steve.
I love that cover.
I know, right? It's so good. This is kind of a cool book. It's Alice Ever After from Boom Studios, and it's a hot take on Alice in Wonderland. And then lastly, Tim Seeley's Loaded Bible, number two. Make sure you check that out. Oh, Tim, you want one of those covers? Well, maybe you should have ordered it.
You got a pre-order.
Don't you know how to use the Comic Hub? You work for me, dude. Come on.
Well, they changed the Comics Hub. I was on there a couple weeks ago, and I was trying to find something, and I'm like, where's all the stuff I had saved? Like my saved searches are all gone. I'm like, what happened? Did they do some updates?
They did. They updated it, and they added it where you can link all the stores together. Mm-hmm. They added that. There was a couple functions that came with that, and it kind of deleted some things,
yeah,
but not everything. But it's not too bad. So
right. I'll figure it out. It's cool.
All right. So, sir, why don't you talk about first off, thanks for coming back on. Like, it's always great to hang out.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm a little scatterbrained. Tim was Tim bailed at the last minute. 11th hour, you asshole. No, just kidding.
He's in the chat though, so that makes up for it, right?
It's true. It's true. It's good. We're gonna probably have the most interactive chat we've ever had on here because of that. Which is awesome. It's always great to have you on. Like we were just talking before we kicked on, like how excited you were about our show. Like,
yeah.
You guys are gonna be set up at Steel City this weekend.
Yes.
And in the same spot, like over by the bathroom there.
We will never give up that spot. That is one of the greatest spots, except for Saturday around between 11 and 2 is when everyone is on the floor and everyone's trying to get back to where the celebrities are at, and it creates this log jam. But it helps us because while someone's standing there, I can tap and say, hey, you want to buy some comics? You like comics? Cool comics over here.
Do you like comics? I like comics. No, that's awesome. I was always wondering, like, because you guys are kind of by the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I'm just like that's either got to be the best or worst thing ever. Like,
yeah. I think it's a little, like I said, it's a little bit of both. On Saturday, it's like at that time, it becomes a problem because now you got lines for the food. Yeah. And then the line with the food is intersecting with the line with the people trying to get back into the back room. And then everything starts to flow over to the other side, and then no one can move. And then it starts getting hot. So the first year we were back, was that 2020 or was that last year? It was really hot and the HVAC kicked off.
Oh, so man.
I got a whiff and I'm like, yeah, that's con smell. I know where I'm at now. So as long as it's not going to be warm this weekend, so that's a good thing. So hopefully we'll keep the con smell down to a minimum.
For those of you who went to previous Three Rivers where we had a little bit of a problem not having AC, I promise you the convention center downtown will have AC that works this time. It will not be hot as balls in there. we are very excited to not sweat everyone out this year. Yes. I always thought that because I'm just like, man, like that's got to be like just very serendipitous to have people just pop out and be like, you, I just came out of the bathroom. I need to talk to you about comic books, you know. But it's also got to be kind of nice too. Yeah. So, there's a lot of great guys out there that do the show, and I'm gonna be mostly shopping for myself, but I do have a couple vendors and creators that had a couple questions, so I'm going to answer those while I'm out there too. So if you see me and you need information about Three Rivers Comic Con, let me know. I will gladly answer those questions.
Right. Just don't do it between 11 and 2 on Saturday.
Maybe I'll just
won't get to us.
You know what? Maybe I just won't even show till two. Like,
yeah, wait, or, like come early or wait until after two.
Right. Well, if I go early enough, by the time I weave my way through the room, I'll get to you before 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
And I guess if I come up the backside, like where Bill's Books and More is set up on the wall, like the back corner, like I can swing that way and meet up with you, as long as I don't try to fight by the bar.
Right.
which, like, so, oh my God, my boss is going to hate me for this. Mm-hmm. So last time I was there, I really was kind of jealous of that show because they served Straub beer at that show.
Yes.
And I am from St. Mary's, and that is my hometown beer. I grew up with them. I know them. It was awesome. and I was like, damn. But I also saw that Helltown, who has done beers with us, is doing a lager for their show. So I'm kind of curious to check that out while I'm there. I'll probably have one. I don't know. I really kind of stopped drinking since the pandemic. I lost like 15 pounds doing so. It was great. Awesome. So. All right. So, So tell us about what's going on in your world, man. Like you have a new Kickstarter coming up, right?
So we are launching that in 13 days. As long as there aren't any hiccups and there hasn't been any on the road so far. So I just want to let people know that I started building this Kickstarter back in December, and I've had anxiety ever since. And it's the anxiety of putting all the pieces together, then setting a goal, and then raising the money on the goal, and then lowering it again, and then raising it again, then lowering it again.
Oh, geez.
And just all this back and forth on. What I want to try to do is get it to fund really fast. Mm-hmm. So set it real, not sell it low, but set it to a point where I know it'll fund if I set it to this, because the books are all done. I've actually got the books already printed. And
oh, nice.
The only thing I have to print is the trades. So I'm waiting on like maybe four new pieces of art, because it's going to have not only the first four issues, but pieces of the one shots that we're doing. What there's stories that take place in between the story arcs. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have previews of those in there. So it's going to be a story called Rush, which is actually going to be set in Pittsburgh. So we're taking over Pittsburgh in the Edge.
That's awesome.
We're actually going to meet some of the characters from Harrenburg in that issue.
Cool.
And we're going to rename some of the restaurants around the city and some of the spaces around the city. So what I was doing was I was doing research, and I was trying to find a restaurant somewhere in Pittsburgh that didn't have narrow streets, because we're going to have a chase. And I was originally setting it down in the Strip, and I'm like, there's no way. We can't have a chase in the Strip. If someone sees them doing a chase and there's not traffic everywhere, somebody's going to say, hey, that's not how that works down there. So we picked a restaurant.
Yeah, dude, like cops can't even get through there when they have their lights on.
So that's not an invitation to commit any crime in the Strip, by the way. So don't go down there and commit crimes where the cops can't get to you. You can get away. But
right.
So we picked Mount Washington. And we picked Mount Washington
Okay. Because
of the movie Striking Distance with Bruce Willis.
Yes,
beginning of the movie when they were on a chase, and they were just going all over, like they were in the tunnel, and then all of a sudden they were coming across the bridge. I'm like, what's going on? And they're just doing whatever they want to go, and I just wanted to simulate that in the book. So we're going to steal a couple of scenes from that movie and put them into the book, where like they're going through the tunnels and cop cars are blown up for no reason, and they're just going all over the city, and they're ending up like downtown, and then they're somewhere else. And it was just like, I was watching the movie and I just had this idea in my head of, let's do this. Let's just do something wild and nutty for this chase scene that's going to come up in the book, and started in Mount Washington and then get like to the South Side or something like that.
Wow. That's awesome.
So that's what I'm like going around taking pictures and sending them to Mark so he can get an idea of what the city looks like. So the opening scene in the book is actually going to be, like you're coming out of the tunnel and you're seeing the point in the rivers and everything. So that's what he's working on that now. So he's trying to get the fine points of those things down, because he's never seen it live. So like in pictures sometimes doesn't do it justice. So we're figuring that out now. So it's going to be good.
Just shoot a small video. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
So, it's funny you brought up striking distance. You know the guy that keeps bringing cars to our show, Eddie.
Yeah.
So he worked on that movie with him. Awesome. He took Bruce Willis to this dive bar in in Turtle Creek so that no one would know who he was, right? Yeah. And in return, Bruce Willis rented these like brand new Harley Davidsons and then they went on a ride. I mean, these things had 4 miles on them when they got to their house, and he got to ride around the city on Harleys with Bruce Willis. It was crazy.
And another funny story about that is they were filming. So you remember the scene where they were at the police ball down by by the water. I actually walked onto the set.
No, no way.
I thought they had all these carnival games set up, and I was like, "Oh, I'll play some carnival games." And I walked up, and they were filming.
Wow! And they're
like, "Hey, you're in our shot." I'm like, "Oh, I didn't know."
Jeez, that is awesome. And I actually live real close to Mount Washington, so this is even more funny. You would not be able to do a chase scene down my street though, because people park like assholes. So,
but it's the funny thing about Pittsburgh is that there isn't a really good area anywhere in this city, because all the streets are so narrow to do like a run out. Like, you know how they come running out and there's vehicles already there waiting for them. They jump on the vehicles and they drive off.
Yeah.
And then the next scene is that they're being chased by someone or they're chasing someone. And there's actually nowhere in the city that you can actually do this. It's
right.
I don't know. And then you've got a lot of uphills, downhills, a lot of wavy, roundy roads. And I'm like, you can't even like downtown, because now you got so many one-way streets down there and it's so bloody down there. I couldn't do it down there. I'm like, man, where can I do this at? This going to make sense. And I just fell into that. And I was like, because striking distance made me think of that. I'm like,
I don't know, man. Like, I don't know if you've been like downtown, like on a Saturday or Sunday lately, but ever since like PNC and Highmark, like basically 200,000 people stopped working downtown. Like, it's like kind of easy to get around and there's really not that much traffic. Like when I was riding my bikes last summer, I told people like on a Sunday at 4 p.m, I could ride down Penn Avenue down the middle of the street and not hit another vehicle on the street driving for like 4 or 5 blocks. Like, it was crazy.
We were down there on a Sunday and there was a show at the Benenum. And it was a glut. People, the messed up part about the whole thing is that people were coming out and they're like, okay, let's go eat. There's no restaurant down there open.
Everything was closing at like 8, right?
Yeah. No, this was like in the middle afternoon on Sunday. The only thing that was open was pizza, and they had a line out the door. Everything else up that street, the pierogi place, the other restaurant, they're all closed. They all went out of business.
No, yeah, you kind of have to go back up Penn, like up by like August Henry's and stuff. Like that block has really survived this whole thing. And then if you go another block, there's like a block of shit that shut down, and then you get down by like Gaucho, and go down to pretty much Point Park and Market Square. And there's stuff at Market Square that's open Sunday afternoons, but you know, from the Benedum, if you're not from the area and you don't know that it's like 3 blocks away, you're not going to walk 3 blocks
away. And I like with the Gaucho, they don't open until 4 on the week. Like most of those restaurants down don't open until 4 o'clock now.
Oh wow!
Yeah, like they just opened that Eagle place. It's like fried chicken,
dude. That place rules. Have you been there?
Yeah. Oh, no, I haven't been able to go yet because they don't open until 4 o'clock.
Oh, dude, it's so good, so good. Like, don't go alone because their servings are definitely not for one person,
right? Yeah, I mean, I've walked past it before. I was like, man, I can't wait to go there. And I was like, we were down there one day and everybody wanted to go get Thai food. I was like, you guys suck.
We stopped there before a bike ride one day and it was like, we were like, oh, cool. We'll split like a half chicken and mac and cheese and cornbread. And we were like so full when we left that we were like, oh my God, we're going to die. Like, this is the worst idea we've ever had. But we worked it up. We wrote it all off. So it was good. Nice. Someone, Ren asked if there is anywhere in Pittsburgh that serves good chili fries since we started talking about restaurants downtown. Tim said Wiener World did. and yes, Wiener least. World still exists. It is it is down there. I saw it the other day when I came out of the Pens game. They do. They do. You got to get down there early. Yeah. Yes.
So
yes.
If you want cheese fries or the chili fries, or you want a gyro, get downtown before 3 o'clock because Mike and Tony's is out of there at 3:30 and Wiener World closes at 3.
Yeah, a lot of places close at 3 downtown because no one, there's very little people working downtown. Mm-hmm. So they'll go out for lunch, but they're not going to go for dinner because they're just going to drive home and then eat at home. So, but yeah, it's crazy, man. Like, I miss going to the O and getting like a small fry and it being like a size of a football, you know. Yeah. It's crazy.
So I mean, it's sad that it doesn't exist anymore.
I know. It's, what is it now? It's like isn't it like an eyeglass place or something?
No, it's food. It's a taco place now.
Oh, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Well, at least it's tacos.
Yeah.
I like tacos. So, but I don't get into Oakland that much, if you can't tell.
I work for Pitt, so I used to work in Oakland, be in those places all the time. Now I haven't been, like, I've been working from home for 2 years. Just
wow.
Yeah.
Do you miss it though? Do you miss like going to Oakland, walking around, hanging out?
I would have said yes after 6 months. Now, no. And what I don't miss is the commute.
Oh yeah. That, I imagine that's the worst part.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can see that. My commute never changed. So, right. I guess the only change to it was that stuff downtown isn't as crazy as it used to be. So that works out for me.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't go through town a lot, like. If I'm at one of the stores, I don't usually leave till like 6 anyway.
Yeah.
So I hit like the tail end of rush hour. It's not
right. I mean, it's been such a shift and change. So like Wood Street is like a ghost town now because they closed the McDonald's, they closed the
GMC. What?
They closed the flower store, and uh-huh. Now the that deli is closed on 6.
Oh,
it's closed. Yeah.
Oh man, that deli ruled.
It's just sad to watch it. And
so like, is the only McDonald's downtown the one by like Market Square now?
Yes.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, Market Square has been pretty busy the whole time, like weirdly. Yeah. So
And then the second Burger King is closed. So there's only one of those open. Who knows? I mean, who knows how long they stay there? Because every time I try to go in there, their computers are down, so they can't serve food. So
whatever. Oh, fair. That's crazy. Well, you know, you can always go to the Burger Kong down on the right. South side. I mean, it's a real Burger King, I promise.
Yeah.
But even the South side, like, you know, that would be a cool place for a Chase if people weren't parking everywhere.
Right.
It'd be a cool look for a place to have a Chase.
Well, that's like we're going to go into South side.
Oh, okay.
Into the South side and then out towards going north on the South side. We're not going towards downtown until we loop back around. Okay. And so I'll tell you, so the thing that we're doing is the character who's like got things going in the story, because what's going on is that there's a Vial of the Edge that's in the open. So it's being auctioned off. So all the criminal elements are coming into Pittsburgh to buy it. And the guy who's running it is kind of keeping his incognito and things like that. So our lead character is actually, his headquarters is going to be the old Alcoa building on the North Shore.
Oh, that's awesome.
So the scene with the Herrenberg characters is that there's going to be a continuous fight between two of the characters. And as they go through like this chase, you'll see them fighting in the background continuously.
Oh, that's really funny. Yeah. So did you get to choose which Herrenberg characters?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's cool. Going to be Vendetta and Centella are going to be
the cool. That's awesome.
So I mean, it's a lot of fun writing and just like trying, like I'm trying to bring in that the kind of campy thing from the Herrenberg series. And that's why it's going to be that continuous fight between these two characters as they're moving around. They're like, why are these two people always in the background? What's going on in this city right now? So I was just having fun with it. And
hey, man, even Spider-Man visited Pittsburgh every once in a while. So
yeah. Well, I mean, does Pittsburgh exist in Marvel again?
I think it does now, but I think that was due to some kind of retcon.
Because
I remember like they were all pissed at Shooter and they blew up Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
it's really funny because for a long time that page hung on the Elwood City window, like mm-hmm. outside of our Elwood City store. And because Elwood survived the blast, and it was like this big blast radius, and then it's like Elwood City. And I'm just like, I'm like, oh, so you got rid of Cranberry too. Good job. There's
a smoking crater where Pittsburgh used to be.
Right. I'm like, you know, Jim grew up in the South Hills, right? Just keep going south. It's fine. So that's awesome, dude. I'm real excited to check it out. So you sent me a link with some photos of stuff. Yep.
The Google folder is the rewards we have in for the Kickstarter.
All right, let's look at that.
So we've got a silver foil and a hollow foil cover. So the silver foil cover is coming basically to like you guys and a few YouTubers. So I'll be dropping some of those off. And we actually have on a print on the back of the cover for
actually in here too.
Yeah. So
let me just flip through these real quick. I think that's actually the last photo. That one.
Yes.
Right.
So that's the cover for it.
So this I saw this like when I was flipping through real quick, and I'm like, wow, this really like has like a Queen vibe to it.
Yeah.
Like it's like they're all gonna start singing Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, we were Bohemian Rhapsody when Mark came up with it. I was like, do something off the wall, man. Because this so if you go back to more real quick.
Okay.
So we're doing with Comics on Coffee, we're doing an Edge coffee.
That's awesome.
We part of the Kickstarter, so you'll be able to get Edge a blended coffee. So you'll be able to go to the Edge and read the Edge at the same time. So that was originally going to be the cover for the coffee. Yeah. And I'm looking at him like, man, this is so weird. And it's so different. I'm making this the cover of the Kickstarter. It's just too fun not to use it. And then, so we'll have a special book for the Kickstarter, and then for the regular edition, we'll have a different cover.
That's cool.
So we just want to have something special for everybody and say.
So is that the coffee? The cover of the coffee?
Yes, that's the bag.
Okay,
that's the actual.
That's bag. Cool. I heard about these guys at Comics Pro, and I looked into it, but I was like, oh my god, I have to buy 100 bags of coffee.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh man, if I could like, because I'm like, I could see like Waterfront and Mills like doing mm-hmm. pretty decent with this, but I can't see like Cranberry, Butler, Elwood, Ohio doing well. So it's like, oh man, I think I'm gonna have to pass. But that's pretty cool. Yeah. Like,
and
you know, as a coffee guy,
right.
That is pretty sweet, bro.
and I like to make a comment that I was the first one to do this, and then everyone else is doing it now, so they're copying me.
Oh wow. All right, let's go back here. So what is this?
This is we're doing a four-part cover. So issue 1, 2, 3, and 4 will have a four-part cover, like a joint cover, and then this print as one of the rewards.
Nice. That's pretty awesome.
And then we're doing brand new covers for issue 1, 2, and 3, and 4. So this is our Revenant Winds cover.
Okay.
And then this is our Azale Winds. And this is just Randa just exploding from her abilities. And then that's just our regular issue 1 where for some reason Mark decided that he was going to win the lottery.
Oh, no shit. Yeah. That's hilarious. Let's see if we can zoom in on that. Maybe. That's funny.
You want 70 billion.
That's hilarious. Jeez. Oh man, these guys are still talking about Wiener World in the chat. So Tim did say it looks wicked though. So I'm glad that likes it. Man, that art, like the art on your book is just so good that you know, we've had some people start picking it up because of it, and it's awesome.
I mean, it's just the combination of things. So it's the pencils and the inks and then the colors, and you got to make sure that you got that whole entire team together. And I mean, it may cost you a little bit more, but you know, you have to be able to have that quality. And like you said, that people are picking it up just because they enjoy the art. I mean, hopefully they're coming back for the story too, but you know,
you hook them when they walk by,
right,
and then you sink them in with the story, and that's really, really the ballpark. And then it's actually been kind of cool because like some people have been brought up to the counter, and I'm like, you know, these guys are from Pittsburgh, right? Or like I'm like, the writer's from Pittsburgh, or they'll bring up like Heroinburg. I'm like, you know, these guys are from Pittsburgh, and it blows their mind that. Mm-hmm. They can buy something that cool and that big, because like the book's huge. Yeah. Like you pack a lot of stuff in there, you know, it's awesome, man.
I mean, I do that because I want a book that's giving me my money's worth. I mean, you're charging $4 or $5, and I don't want it to just be 19 pages and then multiple pages of ads. If we're going to have ads, it's going to be something related either to the book or a product that we believe in. So we'll probably have some ads for some like independent games or independent action figures and things like that.
Three Rivers Comic Con.
Well, we always can get ads.
New Dimension Comics.
you know how to hit me up if ads. I don't charge. You know, send me an ad. I'll be happy to put it in. That's all.
I will just send you the ad then. We already have the NDC one ready to roll, dude. Like I'll just send you that. You can do it. It'd be great.
Well, yeah, we're always ready to support the causes, man, and get more notice on that. And that's why, like, and if, I don't know, you didn't bring up the book festival on May 14th.
Oh yeah, yeah! I totally forgot about that because we're both going to be there, and it's going to be awesome.
And that's our goal, man, is to reinvigorate the art scene in Pittsburgh. I mean, there's so much good stuff that's being unnoticed, like from just your normal art, from people making movies, TV shows, comics, and everything is going on in the city, and no one knows about it.
Yep, and like the music scene in Pittsburgh's huge, a lot of people don't even realize how big it really is. Mm-hmm. I mean, they might know like Gabby Barrett. She was on American Idol voice, one of the two. But they don't really know like there are so many good just bands and performers and singers and writers and movies like that are being made that are just awesome. My friend Jess Paul's in a lot of stuff. And she's also a fashion creator. Like she does all these things with donuts, or they look like donuts, but I'm always like donuts. You know, you can check all that stuff out, and our city is really let me put it to you this way, guys. There's a reason the cultural district is the part that survived the pandemic downtown. Like the August Wilson Center is awesome. If you've never been there and checked out any of that stuff, there's so much good. Just like it blows people's mind when they really get to realize like how many people in Pittsburgh are important for that kind of stuff, or the history of stuff like that too.
Right.
How many people know that the dude who invented the Ferris wheel invented it in Pittsburgh and lived in Pittsburgh for a long time? He lived on the North Shore. And they're doing that big development, like kind of like from the casino to that old prison. There's a big development thing going on there, and they're putting in this giant Ferris wheel in honor of Mr. Ferris.
But it looks like they gave up on the lagoon idea. So it's going to be like I think it's going to be apartments, mm-hmm. shopping, And then you said like that the Ferris wheel. I mean, see how fun it is because, you know, Pittsburgh, we only get like 10 warm days out of the year. So the other time it's snowing. So, or it snows the same day and then it's 60 or 70 degrees. So,
right. I mean, we have like three winters, two false springs.
Yes.
I think we're finally into real spring now, though.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure. I'm
kind of hoping. We're skipping spring. It's going to be like 80 or something next week. I bet.
No, we're going to get this 80. This week is just spring because it's like 60s and rain. Yeah. And then after that, it's going to be summer.
Pittsburgh summer.
But then we have like rain sideways season, which is pretty much all the month of May. You know, we have like the surface of the sun season, which is like from July through August. It's crazy, but it's a lot of fun.
So. Yeah. I mean, it's like some people say it's not boring. Weather is never boring. It's always keeping you on your toes.
Right. So,
I mean, that's our goal is to try to, and this is why we formed, and let me see if I can pull it out real quick. That's why we did the Comicsburg thing, is that we want to try to bring attention to what's going on in the city and make sure that people are aware of it, because no one knows, like, especially people outside. Like when we do shows in like Ohio and West Virginia, they're like, oh, we didn't know you guys were doing that kind of stuff in Pittsburgh. We didn't even know what was going on here. Like no one knows. Like all they know is that's all they know.
Yeah, and it was it was funny because like Garrett Gunn was at the waterfront a couple weeks ago doing the Good Boy tour. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dude, you probably know a lot of the people that are around here, or at least have heard of them. And I started rattling off. I'm like, Sora, I know you know Sora because she's the person who introduced me to you. Mm-hmm. I'm like, Robert Hack lives over here, Scott McDaniel, Ron Friends, Pat Olive, Dave Wacker. Like, I'm just like going on and on and on. And he's just like, are you going to stop? And I'm like, no, like, I'm like, dude, never like, stops. You know, and then like, if you go to like our show, Three Rivers, like I will tell you that a good third of Artist Alley are dudes from, or are artists from, we'll say a 50 mile radius of the center of the city. Yeah. Like from Point Park, 50 miles out, a third of those people in Artist Alley are from somewhere in that circle, which is insane because it's like 130 people deep. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's what, like 40, almost 50 people. Mm-hmm. Like that's crazy, right? Yeah. So, yeah, and it's good.
It's a good thing. And if we can bolster that up and let people know that these things are going on, like it could be a new renaissance of art in the city. And it's something that's surely need. I mean, I see a lot of people are really dejected and about the pandemic and having to stay in the house. And like, you could have been staying in the house reading comics and enjoying yourself and getting over that depression that you were feeling. It was like, it was so refreshing to get out to a show and just see people's faces. Well, behind the mask faces, but you know what I mean? But I mean, it's something that needs to be, it's like even like the museums and things like, they need a resurgence, and it can't be just about football, baseball and hockey.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to do. I think we are very fortunate to have very substantial suburbs that are not too far out from the city. You know, while we have like our freaking mountains and the rivers and stuff, like we still have these thriving communities and all the neighborhoods like Dormont, Mexican War Streets, Lawrenceville, like they're packed with people. Like there's so many people that live there and so much is still thriving there that it's very, I don't even know what the term I want to use is. It's like, it's very, I guess, like it makes you feel good to know that like we're not in a super depressed area.
Yeah.
And we have community to grow with,
right.
And that's huge. And we see it in the stores, you know, like of the 14 shops in Pittsburgh, and I'm guessing at that number, but I know it's pretty close to that.
Mm-hmm.
in the 14 comic stores ish in the Pittsburgh area, zero closed from the pandemic.
Yeah.
And that is crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's like, cause we were, driving around dropping off flyers and stuff. And we're just like, man, everybody on the list is still there. I think we found one way out there, like past Greensburg, like kind of going toward Altoona or State College, that was very, very, very small. And the guy was closing his shop down, but that's like 2 hours out. Right. Right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, man. And then, you know, it's great to see dudes like you and Caleb and Jim and Ed and Tom, like still putting stuff out from the area. And it's awesome to be able to support our friends and the Pencil Knots, who did 819 comics. They just put out a graphic novel and a new issue,
so cool.
Which is cool. There's a Mr. Marsh guys. I don't know if you've read that at all. It's very good.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. So, I mean, but there's so many great things. And the cool part was, like, as I'm going around dropping, like, just these simple flyers off, like half the stores all have a local comics area. Cause like, I was like, I walked into, to Geekadrome, which is literally a half mile from my house.
Yeah.
And I was walking in, I'm like, hey, Paul. Yeah. Yeah. I went to college with him. I was like, hey dude, how's it going? It's that time of year. Here's your flyers. And I'm like, oh, sweet. You got like the Edge and you got Heroinberg and like all these local dudes. I'm like front and center. And it was really cool. So to see that, you know, yeah. And Howard Bender, I think, shops there. He's going to be our guest next week. We're going to talk to him about how he created this sucker. Yeah. And he's done some art for you guys, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He did some art for Heroinberg. Yeah.
Nice. Nice. So, yeah. You know, it is awesome. And I love that, you know, Pittsburgh can rally like that. Mm-hmm. So
I mean, you put good energy out, get good energy back. And that's all we're trying to do, is like to let people know that, I mean, comics are still fun. Still have fun with the comics. It's not serious. It's goofy. Like, we want to do some goofy stuff once in a while, but I mean, that's part of this. That's the charm and the funness of it, is that, yeah, we got guys shooting energy out of his sores. How's he do that? We'll figure it out eventually.
You ever do that? Like accidentally write yourself into a weird, like, pigeonhole of, oh crap, how am I going to explain this?
Yeah.
Or, okay. Like all the time? Is that pretty much like how it starts?
It happens more than you think it does. So it's like you're going off on this you're going down this road, and you're 10 miles into the road, and then there's a stop sign, and there's no more road. It's like it's an empty chasm. You're like, holy crap, how do I fill this thing up? Because I'm not going back 10 miles again. So now you have to write either around it or you have to fill the hole. Generally, I want to fill the hole. Sometimes I'll write around it and then decide, well, we'll come back to that later. And it's funny that we mentioned that, is that it happened with the energy source, the Mystic character, is that I didn't know what I was doing when he's wearing armor. And then later in the story, he's wearing more of a ninja type garb. And I had no idea what I was doing with that. And then we came up with this thing where he's kind of being led by other people who held those swords in the past. Okay. And we're actually going to get to the story of like where the swords came from and who every person that ever held it. And it's we kind of do it like the Panther realm in Black Panther, where all the Black Panthers go when they die and they're able to talk to the current Black Panther. And it's going to be something like that, where these people from the past are in his ear, and it's kind of making him uneasy. And makes him make decisions that may not be the right decision at that, because he's being led by someone who's like, you should do this part, or no, help that person, or go this and do that. And he's being led in all these different directions, and eventually he's not going to be able to deal with it.
Okay. That's pretty cool. Like, cause like, I was always curious, like, do you build the manual, like the Bible of the character first, or do you build the character and then go back to the backstory and really fill it in. Like, right. Or do some writers do it one way, some writers do it the other way. And I guess, like, how much into D&D are those guys? Because they pretty much are, especially if they're building the Bible style, you know what I mean?
I think it goes both ways. And for me, I did write a, like a rudimentary Bible on personalities, past, like, even though we don't deal with it right up front, the characters all have past. And I didn't really get into what's happening into the future because I want the story to tell that part, which is why when I'm writing, I don't give origins until it's part of the story. So like in issue two, when we give a little background on Bolt, it leads right into the present day story. So that's how I want to do it. It's like, okay, so this is happening. How is it affecting what's happening, what's going on now?
Okay.
So now we're in that where it's not, I don't want to just do page one origin. Because it's nothing I need to tell right then. I need to get into the characters, what their motivations are, how to deal with obstacles. And then you put the origin and you're like, oh, so that's why this person is making these choices or these decisions, because this happened to them in the past, or because someone told them something, they need to do this or do that. So, I mean, and this is what we're doing with the Revenant character. So we're giving him, it's not a one shot because he doesn't use guns, he uses knife. So it's a one cut. And it's going to tell his origin according to him, but he's a liar. And one of his so there's a scene where he's talking to his clone and telling him all this stuff, and the clone is like, "What are you talking about, man? I was there. This never happened." And he pretty much tells him, "I don't care. It sounds cool." So it's just like so. And then the story it's all chopped up, so it's not told in any kind of order because his mind is so scattered. So it goes like. From the end to the beginning to the end to the middle, and he's just randomly telling this stuff, and it really makes sense to him, but as you piece it together, like, this dude is like out of his mind. Like, what is he talking about? He's just going on and on, talking to a clone and a knife, telling him his life story that's probably not even true.
Right. That kind of sounds similar to like kind of how they're doing Moon Knight right now.
Yeah.
Where they're like, we're gonna totally throw you into the world of Moon Knight, and then eventually mm-hmm. we're going to tell you kind of how he developed.
Right.
And I actually had like I'm in a group chat with some friends, and they kind of know like the basics of Moon Knight, right? Mm-hmm. And but their wives, nothing.
Yeah.
So they're watching it, and they're like, "Oh man, this was really good," and this and blah blah blah. And he's like, and then they're both like, "And my wife was totally lost." And, you know, so I always kind of thought, like, for comic guys that do that, do you find that if you don't put, when you create a new property, mm-hmm. when you put out that first issue, do you want to have that little bit of backstory in there? Or is it, like, just, are you just focusing on writing a very good issue and then you'll get to the backstory next? Or do you want to have that backstory first? Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of the question I've always had for some writers. So
I think it depends on what kind of story you're trying to tell and who you're targeting in your audience. So I'm pretty much targeting 90s people who comics from the 90s.
Okay.
And those stories always started right in the middle. It was like, first day, I'm going to teach you how to swim. Get off the boat.
Into the deep end you go.
Into the deep end you go. Now you figure it out. You sink or swim, because that's your only two options. And I think that what it does is it piques interest, and it makes you interested in what's going to happen next, because you're kind of fighting against the current to try mm-hmm. to get back into the story and see where the story's going. But I think it works both ways. I think you can tell that origin story up front. But then it leads into kind of where you have to do a lot of retconning later, because if you're telling that origin story up front, what do you want to have for that character later? Because what do you have to tell about them from their past? Because then you have to pile on things into the past, and it's happened in a lot of books, like Spawn, it took a long time to get into his origin story, but. If you remember, they had the power countdown in the credits of the book, in the front of the book, where it would show that once he ran out of powers, he goes back to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And you just keep extending that as far as you can with his power, never running out. So then you can keep telling that story that you're trying to tell. But I mean, his origin was always interesting until you had the problems with Chapel and Youngbloods, and he couldn't use that character anymore. But it was all, I really liked the connections that all those books have. And I, like I said, that if you want to tell the origin up front, you have to be prepared to tell what else about that character, because you're going to have to pack something in later to keep people on board. If you like stave them off and keep stiff on them on that back of that story, and then you can tell the whole entire story on it. Because what ended up happening with me is that these little mini stories I'm telling were actually part of the main stories that were, it just threw me off. So I had pulled it out and made it the same thing because it worked better by itself.
Okay. All right. That works. Cool. Well, I think that's all the questions I have. For you, that was an amazing answer though. Like that really, like, kind of made me really appreciate writing more. And this, by the way, this is, guys who are watching and listening, this is the reason why I always consider writers artists, because it takes, like, I can't do what he does, and a lot of people can't do what he does. So it's very much so an art. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate what you do, sir, and keep at it, man. Cause, like, you know, do you also find, they say, like, for to be a master, you have to put in like 100,000 hours of practice or something crazy. Where do you feel you are on that line? Of, if let's say it's 100,000 hours, I don't think it's that much. I think it's supposed to be like 10,000 hours or something. Right. But
so I originally started writing this story back in 1992.
Wow, so I was 11.
I just graduated from high school.
Okay,
and like I said, it was the 90s, so it was all the Wildcats and all the other stuff, and the Image boom was what piqued my interest. And I figured, because like Marvel and DC were the thing, G.I. Joe was a thing, X-Men was a thing, and then you had Jim Lee and his X-Men, and then they did their own thing, and you're thinking, man, these guys are going out there on their own on just their name. Yep. And selling millions of copies of books, and you're thinking, man, now that I know that people can do this, let me try it. And it was terrible. Just say it right now. One day I'm going to get those notebooks out. I'm going to publish those notebooks. And people are going to, they're going to look at what I was doing then and what I'm doing now. And they're like, man, how did you do that? And I said, practice.
I mean, you could put those as like the backers.
Yeah.
In like some issues and be like, yeah, so here's the original storyline.
I just tell you is that it was like, I actually, so,
I like was, we're not I getting just, these notebook pages in the graphic novel version. Like that's no, not the no, bonus no, feature.
No. This is something that has to be really separated from everything else. And it's just something I'll just say that, yeah. So here's some notes on the things I was doing. So maybe it'll be part like the movers I was telling you about before, that script to screen series thing that we're working on. Maybe it'll be part of that. Maybe I'll show it then I'll have two screens up, and I'll show an original script and then then my new stuff. And people will be like, how did this guy go from that to that? I mean, it's almost like an artist. You say like you go from drawing stick figures to drawing like on chapels and murals and things like that. So it's all practice. And I'll tell you the one thing, there was this one character that I created, and his powers were activated at the Olympics. So he was on the uneven bar spinning around, and his powers blew out. And he blasted out of him, blew a hole in the roof of the Olympic arena. I'm like, holy crap, that is so freaking stupid. That's dumb. I'm just creating these really goofy characters. And I'm like, man, where am I going with this? This is so silly. But I mean, it's like, it's one of those things where you could bring them back and just have them die right there. Yeah, he's dead now. So forget about him.
Yeah, that's kind of like I love like really shitty like D-level characters.
Yeah,
like that's my kind of dude. Mm-hmm. Right there, like bold face type man.
Yeah.
And like for a long time like multiple man was that guy. Yeah. Like I love that dumb, stupid character, right. Arm fall off boy. Like, you know, yeah. The dudes who really don't do anything. Like, but I love them so much.
Did you watch the Boys, the animated?
Yeah.
With the hammers.
We tried to show people parts of it on here a couple episodes ago, and YouTube shut us down in the middle because like we apparently left it go too long.
Yeah.
But like it was mostly the second episode where it's like all the kids who had like the real terrible powers, like boob face, and slow Joe. Yeah. Like
I like the guy with the hammer for the hands because he's like screaming at his neighbor, "I'm not a pedophile, I have hammers for him."
Right.
It's great. It's so great. But I mean, like I said, we're out here and we're just letting our imaginations on the pieces of paper. And like I said, that I want to show that stuff, but I don't want to show it, but I want to just show the improvement. Because that's all it is. Like no one walks into a room as an expert at anything as soon as they walk into the room. If you are, you should be running the company. If you're the expert, day one. But yeah, so I mean, it just is. Do you want to pop up the Kickstarter?
Sorry. Let me do that real quick. Boom. As you can see, it's saved on mine.
So we're at 112. So I mean, we're always looking for new followers to see how this thing is going to go. So and. 2 weeks we're going to go live and there's a reason why we picked 420, of course, you know, edges of drugs, 420.
Yep. I know how I'll be celebrating. I mean, that's marketing. a Wednesday. It's a new comic day too, which is even funnier.
Yeah. And so. instead of buying Marvel and DC books, you can pledge for the Edge. And just know that the books are all done. So there won't be the only delay is going to. I mean, there won't be really a delay because the printer I use has paper, unlike other printers. So I'm not going to say who they are because I don't want anybody coming stealing all my paper. So the only thing that needs printed are the trades. I need to get the coffee in, and I'm trying to figure out where to store it because I don't want to smell coffee in my place until the Kickstarter ends. So I'm probably just going to put all the boxes in storage. We've got that. We've got stickers. Oh, do I have stickers here? What did I do?
Ren would like to know how many copies are being made.
I've printed 200 issued copies already of each book.
Okay.
So
the graphic novel are being made?
200.
Okay.
Yeah. That's going to be my preliminary ones. If we do more in the Kickstarter, I can print more. So there'll be plenty for everybody.
Okay, cool. Cool.
You know, you guys will get some.
Cool. So, well, I mean, I'm going to do the Kickstarter myself, so it'll just come right to my house. So,
okay. So we are doing a retailer tier. So retailers will get for $80, they'll get five trades, five copies of each book, which with all the covers, the stickers, and whatever things we come up with. I try to find the most outrageous things I can do. So we're not doing trading cards. We're doing 8x10 postcards.
Because, oh, cool.
Everyone was doing trading cards. So I'm like, I'm doing this instead. This is
you don't want to call it a lithograph like Marvel does.
It's a art print.
Okay.
So I got a lot of stuff going on. So I mean, once this is done, issue 5 will be popping out. This past weekend I finished issue 17, so we're rocking and rolling.
Awesome. I did post the link to the Kickstarter in there. I posted it earlier and I posted it again. Tim asked for it again, so it's right there. All right, so you have a regular website, you have some social media if you want to let people know what they are so that they can follow you and get all of the information right there, and we should be good.
Sure. I'm at theedgecomic.com. That is currently pointing to the Kickstarter because I'm working either moving the website or making updates to it. On Facebook, I am The Edge Comic. on Twitter. I am at Marvin Wynn because somebody has the Edge comic on there and they've never posted. And I don't, Twitter won't give it to me. And on Instagram, I'm the Edge comic.
Awesome. Awesome. Cool. Let's see if anybody in the chat has a random question. We'll give them a couple minutes. We'll give them a minute or two to see if anybody does that. In the meantime, I will remind people that they can see the Comete Marvin and the Heroinberg guys, because you know the Comicsburg out at Steel City Con this weekend, and then they'll be at our show at Three Rivers in the first week of June.
Don't forget to make sure Book Fest.
Oh, and Book Fest, which is the 15th of May, right?
The 14th.
14th.
So that'll be all over the east side of the city. So Breakthrough Square, the library in East Liberty, and a bunch of other places. So they're doing like poetry reading. They're doing book readings. They're doing some stuff where fathers and daughters can build bookcases, and then they'll give them books to put on the bookcase. So man, Lori's putting together a pretty good show, and we're really excited to be part of it.
That's awesome. We are, I believe we're going to be set up in Bakery Square. So it'll be a lot of fun if you guys want to come down and hang out with us. And I don't know what we're going to have there yet. I don't know if we're going to have like just a spin wheel, or if we're going to have like some stuff to sell and some spin wheel giveaway stuff. We got time. So, but it's going to be a lot of fun. Tim says, great show. Thank you, Tim. Sorry you couldn't be here, buddy.
he got the energy up in the chat, though, so we'll give him some.
It's true, man. It's true. He did. He just was like all over the place with that. It was great. I don't think anybody has any other questions. I know there's a little bit of a delay. That's why I wanted to let everybody do that.
I am freely available on social media to talk about comics or anything else. I don't keep myself closed. I don't block people. So, I mean, unless you threaten me or try to attack me on the streets or something, I'll find out who you are on social media and block
you. Come at you with a blackjack, whatever. Yeah. Also, you'll be able to see him down at our waterfront store on Free Comic Book Day.
Yes. And I will have some free stuff to give away.
Sweet. That will be a great time. All right, cool. Well, we're going to wrap this up. Thanks so much again, Marvin, for coming on. It's always a blast to have you. Stick around, guys, for next week. We will be having Howard Bender, who has worked for DC. He's worked for Archie. He's done some crazy cartoon stuff, too. He drew this thing right here. We're going to talk about the origin of this stuff, as well as some of his career, and you know how he went from being in Pittsburgh to going away and then coming back to Pittsburgh. And now he lives like 10 minutes from me down in Mount Lebanon. And awesome. He's such a good dude. I love him a lot. So, all right. Thanks a lot, guys. We will catch you next week. And that's about it. So
good night.